Welcome to Good Oak Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. If you would, let's open to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, we're going to title the message tonight, "Why Was He Called Jesus?" Why was he called Jesus? And the reason why, it says in the text, is because he shall save. Now, it doesn't say he'll just make it possible, and that's most people's idea of salvation, is that all Jesus does with regard to salvation, all the Lord does with regards to salvation, is make it possible. Well, that's not what the verse says. It says he shall save his people. It doesn't leave any doubt in the text. Well, what I'm going to do in this message entitled "Why He Was Called Jesus," I'm going to show you what he does. I'm going to show you how he indeed does save. That we owe our salvation, the reason why we're saved, to him. He deserves all the glory and the praise and the honor for it. So he did more than make it possible. Let me show you what all he does. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It says this. It talks about himself, talking about himself. It says, "The Son of Man," who is the Lord Jesus. I want you to listen to this now. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save." Well, here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "He also shall seek and to save." Aren't you glad that the Lord seeks shall? Now, my friend, in salvation, you often hear folks say the day they saved was the day that they found the Lord or found Jesus. Well, folks, Jesus wasn't lost. Before I saved, I was the one that was lost. And the day that I was saved was the day that the Lord found me. That's what it says in the text, Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost." There was no accident or a stroke of luck that there was a day that you realized you was a sinner and you seen your need for salvation. And then you begin to seek after the Lord. You seek after the Lord because he first sought after you. Here in the text, above text, this is Luke 19, I read verse 10. Verses 1 through 9 of the text tells the story of Zacchaeus. He was a covetous old sinner. He was a type of man that lived for money. He was a publican. Most people in his day would have hated him because he was a publican, a tax collector, a Jew that collected taxes for the Roman government. Most of these men were thieves. And most generally, when you used the name publican, you'd say publican and sinner. It was synonymous with being a sinner. Well, you know what happened? He had an interest in seeing what the Lord looked like. Because Jesus was a famous man, climbed up in a sycamore tree, and just so happened. Well, no accident, my friend, it wasn't just so happened. Jesus came to his sycamore tree that he was up in. He looked up in the tree at him and said, called him by name, knew him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I must abide at thy house." And Jesus went to his house, and as a result of Jesus going to his house, salvation came to his house. Well, why did Zacchaeus get saved? Well, because Jesus came to his house. Jesus sought him out. Jesus came to his sycamore tree. Jesus went to his house. Jesus seeks and saves that which is lost. Aren't you glad? The day you were saved was the day that Jesus found you. You were the lost sinner. Jesus is the shepherd. Before you were saved, you was a lost sheep. And the day that you were saved, you was a found sheep. There's a picture of that in the scriptures. The parable of the lost sheep. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And then when he comes home, he calls his neighbors and friends and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost," or "my sheep, which was lost." Now, what's this illustration of this found sheep? It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Here you have a picture of a lost sinner pictured as a lost sheep. And the day of his salvation is the day that the shepherd finds them. So, he was called Jesus. Why was he called Jesus? Because he shall save. No doubt to it, are they? He's going to save them. He just does more than makes it possible. He seeks you out. That's what the Bible says, Luke 19 and 10. He sought you. He seeks and saves. An old song we sing at the church says, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. The writer of that song knew that Jesus seeks you out. He sought you, he sought me, and bought me with his redeeming blood. That's the old hymn, Victory in Jesus. Next time you sing it, notice that part of the song. He sought me and bought me. He just doesn't make it possible. He seeks you out. You were lost sheep before you were saved. The day you were saved was the day the shepherd found you. Wasn't the day you found the shepherd. He wasn't lost. You was. He deserves the glory for the finding. So he sought you. Number two, he also draws you. He also draws you. And I'd like to draw your attention now to John 6. What I'm doing, I'm showing you that Jesus indeed can save. And he does save. And that's why he's called Jesus. Because he shall save. See, there's no doubt to it. I showed you, first of all, that he seeks you in salvation. He sought you out. And you were found. And he's the one that did. He's the one that did the finding. And he deserves the glory for it. Now I'm showing you he draws you. He draws you to him. He draws you with cords of love, as the Old Testament says. It says in John chapter 6, no man can come to me. Boy, I'm glad that verse doesn't stop there, aren't you? John 6:44. No man can come to me. Well, that's on his own. That's apart from the working of the Lord. That's apart from the Holy Spirit working in the heart. If the Lord left you completely alone, on your own, you'd never come to him. And the reason why that is because man is dead in his trespasses and in sins. If he's left alone, he'll continue right on in his sin willfully. Not because anybody's forcing him to, because that's just what his nature is to do. No man can come to me except, oh, thank God for that exception. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. It says, except the Father draw him. And I will raise him up the last days. Those that he draws will be raised up the last days. Those that he draws will be saved. Because on the last day, who he raises up in the first resurrection is those that have been born again. Those that have trusted him as their Savior. Why did they do that? Because he drawed them. He drawed them to himself. John 6, verse 37, same chapter, all that the Father giveth me shall come. It says they're going to come. All that the Father giveth me, it says they shall come to me. They're going to come. You know why they're going to come? He's going to draw them. He's going to use the Scriptures. He's going to use His Word. And He's going to power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside, bringing about conviction. He's going to draw you right into Himself. It says, him that comes to me, I'll no wise cast them out. You come to the Lord for salvation. You come realizing you're a sinner and you come to him. He'll save your soul. And he will. And he has. And he does. And he will do right now. Why did you come? You say, well, I come because I'm smarter than ever. No, you came because he drawed you. That's what it says. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me drawing. You stay right in your sin. He sought you. And he drawed you. Without him seeking you, you would still be lost. Without him drawing you, you would still be in your sin. Well, he does even more than that. He also quickened you. Quicken means to be made alive. The Bible says he's a judge of the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead. Well, there's such a thing as being dead physically, but there's also such a thing as being dead spiritually. Spiritually dead is the worst form of death they are. For I saved, I was dead in trespasses and sins. There's no spiritual life here. I was in the sins, didn't care about spiritual things. And I continued in that condition for some time, but notice what it says in Ephesians 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. Verse 3 says, by nature, I was a child of wrath. My nature was to sin. If God left me completely alone, I would did just according to my nature. My nature was to sin. Romans chapter 3 says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That's on their own. They have to be sought out. They have to be drawn. They also have to be made alive. It says in verse 4, but God, who was rich in mercy, wherein the great love wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. He quickened you. He made us alive spiritually. When he makes you alive, you see your sin. You see you're a sinner. You see that you're lost. And you repent and you want to be saved. See, all that happens as a result of quickening. A man won't want to be saved till they're quickened. A man won't come until he's drawn. Man won't seek till he's first sought out. The Lord gets the glory for all of those blessings. You see, thou shalt call his name. Why was he called Jesus? Because he shall save. He's going to seek you. He's going to draw you. He's going to quicken you. You know what else he does? He also opens your heart. Folks, the Lord deserves the glory for the open heart. My heart was closed. My understanding was closed at one time. But you know what happened? The Lord opened my heart. He opened my understanding. And the Lord's the one that deserves all the glory for that. Acts chapter 16 speaks of Lydia. She was a seller of purple. The Apostle Paul went into Macedonia. He went by a riverside where some women were praying. They were religious, like many people, but they were lost. And it says a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple dye of the city of Thyatira, worshiped God, heard us. And it says, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. My friend, when the Lord opens your heart, you will attend to the things which are spoken in his word. Reason why he went to Macedonia to start with was to preach the gospel unto them. Luke, Acts chapter 16 and verse 10. It says, they gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He told these women about Jesus and the need for Jesus, how he died and how he rose again. That's what the gospel is. And she attended unto the things which were spoken. You know why she did that? Because the Lord opened her heart. She understood. She's seen it. Well, my friend, that's what happens in salvation. But the Lord is the one that opens the heart. You don't do that. He deserves the glory for it. Sometimes the book of Revelation 3 is used to say that Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. Well, that's referring to that church in that text. That church had shut Jesus out in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Let me turn there real fast so I can tell you the name of the church. They had literally shut Jesus out. And a lot of churches have done that. When you shut out God's word, you shut out Jesus. When you shut out the gospel, you shut out Jesus. That's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. It's the church of Laodicea. It had waxed cold, my friend. Neither cold nor hot, just lukewarm. Thought they were rich, but they were poor, blind, and naked, Jesus told them. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, he's talking to the church at Laodicea. You got to keep things in their context. They'd shut Jesus out. Churches can do that, and they still do it today by shutting out his word. But in Acts 16, when it's talking about a person, it's talking about Lydia, a seller of purple, and there it says that the Lord opened her heart. Jesus is the one that deserves the glory for that. When He opens your heart, you have an understanding. You're given an understanding of why He died. You understand your condition, and then the result of that is you trust Him as your Savior. 1 John chapter 5 is a verse of Scripture I love. And I'm going to read it to you also. It goes with this, Him opening your heart. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. The reason why you have an understanding is because He gave you an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now let me read that verse. He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Why do you understand? He opened your understanding. To open your heart means to open your understanding. Luke chapter 24, the same thing is said of the apostles. In Luke chapter 24, it says, then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what it means. That's what it means to have your heart opened. Well, what's the message entitled? Why was He called Jesus? The answer in Matthew 1:21, He shall save. He shall save. He's going to do more to make it possible. He actually can save. He's not in the sidelines on salvation. He's able to save a sinner. And the Bible reveals Him as doing that. He's very active in people's salvation, more than He's given credit for. It says that He sought you, Luke 19:10, that's what we showed you. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Showed you how He draws you. John 6:44 said, no man can come to me except He's drawed. The Father which sent me draw him. He quickens you. Quicken means He made you alive. Acts 16:10 says He opens the heart. So He's the Lord. The Lord is the one that's done all those things. So that's the reason why you glory in Him. He's the one that brought about the new birth. We're born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. The Lord's the one that brings all that to pass too. You had as much to do with your spiritual birth as you did your physical birth. You say, well, Jeff, I didn't have anything to do with my physical birth. Neither did you your new birth either. God's the one that birthed you. He's the one that regenerated you. That's the idea of regeneration, is having a new birth. He's the one that brought that spiritual life to pass. As you listened, as you heard the Word, the Holy Spirit made you alive. That's what the new birth is. And as a result of that, you repented and you put faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one that birthed you. He quickened you. He drawed you. He sought you. And He opened your heart. You see, He shall save. Matthew chapter 16, let me give you an example here. Matthew chapter 16, the question was asked of His disciples, whom do men say that I am? Well, Simon Peter answered for the rest of the disciples, and I'm sure I know they believed the same thing, but Matthew chapter 16, I want you to listen to this. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? This is Matthew 16:15. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, a lot of people thought that He was John the Baptist resurrected. Some thought He was Elijah. Others thought He was Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then He said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter responded by saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, why did Peter say that? Why was it that Simon Peter knew who he was and James knew who he was and John knew who he was and the others knew who he was? Well, Jesus tells them why they knew. Listen to this in Matthew 16 and verse 17. Jesus answered and said to them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. It wasn't because of you or any other man. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. The Lord is the one that revealed it. Well, folks, you can see very plainly why he was called Jesus. He shall save. And the Lord indeed can save. He's not on the sidelines in this situation. He quickens you. He made you alive, did he not? The Bible says he did. He drawed you. No man can come to me unless he gets drawn. You know why? Because they'll stay right there in their sin willingly. Not because anyone's forcing them to, because they want to. The one who can be drawn, and that one has to be changed, only the Lord can do that. Luke 19 says he sought you. You were a lost sheep, and he sought you and found you, and he opened your heart. So see, folks, he deserves the glory, and he deserves the praise for all that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read you a little bit more. I love these texts of Scripture. Just look them up yourself and make sure what I'm telling you is so. Does the Scriptures not say that he has to draw you? Does the Scripture not say that he has to quicken you? He has to seek you? That he opens the heart? Does the Scripture not say these things? Check them out and see. And then when you see it, you see why you owe the glory for your salvation to him. And you see also why he was called Jesus. He shall save. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 mentions a few things about those of the church of Corinth. It says, for you see your calling, brethren. Your calling. We talked about how the Lord calls you. He calls you. It's an inward call. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ. Now why are you know, when you're saved, you're in Christ? Any man be in Christ is new creation. Old things pass away. We're in Christ. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Why are you in Christ? Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of him are ye in Christ. He's the reason you're in Christ. Why would it say of him are ye in Christ? Because he's the one that called you. He's the one that quickened you. He's the one that drawed you. He's the one that sought you. He's the one that opened your heart. He's the one that brought about your new birth. And he's the one that revealed to you the need of salvation. He deserves all the glory for it. And that's what 1 Corinthians 1:31 says. Therefore, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, the Lord don't get enough glory for salvation. Too many men's taking that glory for themselves. Preachers don't say, they can tell you the way of salvation. But my friend, it's the Lord's the one that does the saving. That's why we sing the song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He's able to do it. And that's the reason why he was called Jesus. He shall save his people. It says he should save his people from their sin. Who are these people that are called his people in this text? Well, he calls them sheep in the Gospel of John chapter 10. I like how this text is how these things are worded in John 10. Jesus is preaching in John 10. It says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. When would Jesus lay his life down? Well, he laid his life down on the cross. And he laid his life down for his sheep. You know who his sheep is? Well, it says in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's talking about Gentiles. He not only had sheep that would be Jews, but he also had sheep that would be Gentiles. Aren't you glad of that? They were lost at the time Jesus died, but one of these days they were going to be found sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring. You see, there's no doubt to it. They shall hear my voice. Because he's going to open their understanding. There should be one fold and one shepherd. Isn't that a glorious text? It says the unbelieving Jews comes to him in verse 24. Then came Jews around about him and said unto him, How long does you make us to die? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered and said, I've told you, and you believe not. So this one group of people said, tell us if you're the Messiah. He said, I told you, but you wouldn't believe. Why wouldn't they believe? Notice what it says. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Well, folks, you see a glorious picture. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That what was our title of the message tonight. Why was he called Jesus? Because he shall save. He will open their heart. He will seek them out. He will draw them. He will make them alive. He will bring about their new birth. He will give them an understanding to know him and his truth. And he'll call them by his grace. I will save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. That is his sheep. That's what he calls them in John chapter 10. He says they'd hear his voice. That's because he had called them. And they would respond in faith in him. Faith in his sacrificial death and resurrection. Cleansed from their sin. And then he would give them eternal life. And they'd never perish because he'd keep them. He would save his people from their sin. That's your greatest need, is to be saved from your sin. If you're not saved from your sin, you'll die in your sin. You need to have peace with God before you die. And in order to have peace with God, something has to be done about your sin. And the answer to the sin problem is Jesus. That's why he came. That's why he died. And that's why he resurrected from the dead. He died on the cross to pay for our sin. Well, my friend, if the Lord's spoken to your heart and you see your need for salvation, he promises you, if you'll come to him, him that comes to me, he said in John 6:37, he'll no wise cast them out. He'll wash you clean, he'll give you everlasting life, and he'll give you a future with him. My friend, that's the greatest thing you can have. That's what true, durable riches truly is. And then in the glorious thing, 2,000 years ago, this man called Jesus came for that purpose. Why was he called Jesus? Because he shall save his people. He knew who they were. From their sin. May God add his blessings to his word.